give up in us.
Welcome to the Living with Heart podcast with Dr. Chip Dodd. Good afternoon, Dr. Chip Dodd.
Good afternoon, Brian. And this is a test, is it not?
It is, because we always do first thing in
mornings.
The morning.
And afternoon's going to be interesting, because you've already done your thing, I've already done my thing, and we're sort of like at the end of the day.
Yep.
And see what we got.
Creative.
What are you doing after this? Going
to
go?
I am driving from Murfreesboro to Brentwood to go pick up my daughters from their dance class.
That's
what
that's
I'm doing. I'm doing a tour of Nashville, and I'll call people in the car.
That's great. Right. I am going from here to work out. My son calls it, Dad, call it exercise.
What's wrong with workout? I've never heard anybody say
look,
that.
Man, as long as it's not on film,
that's
I'm
not
working
like a,
out, right?
Yeah, I was like, that's not a dated reference.
Some old dude running sprints. Come on, that's working out.
That's working out.
I'm going to go work out. And then go see sweet Sonia.
Mm-hmm.
And then take care of the business around me with all other things. And prepping for something tomorrow.
What does that mean?
Just that, you know, just see, look at the emails.
Oh, yeah.
Check
in
with Sonia. We'll have some doing plants out on the courtyard catching up, because she's getting over her broken foot.
Right.
So
is not she feeling better?
TMI here, but that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, you did. I mean, that is a major cliffhanger, because in the episode before, you did talk about her falling. And
oh, I did.
Her foot.
Okay. Yeah, so.
So it's
that we have an upcoming trip to Minneapolis with your friend, John Parnell's church in the Twin Cities. And Sonia's going on that trip. Come whatever happens, not to be with me.
Right.
She has tickets to the twins game.
Yeah.
And the church has great seats. So she's going to go on a walker if she has to. Like,
that's
Sonia,
good for her.
Please. I asked her, I said, are you just going because of the game?
And she said.
She said, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard everything else you have to say.
There's many things I love about Sonia, but when we had dinner together a few weeks ago, it was just striking me, because I'm – pretty much the biggest baseball fan of any room you walk into, except if I'm in the room with Sonia. She is a bigger fan.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing.
I love it.
Hey,
y'all went to a Braves game on your honeymoon. I learned that.
We went to a Braves game on our honeymoon, and I think we were doing our 20-year, and we went through Atlanta and went to a Braves game.
Just so happened to go through Atlanta.
You know, a lot of dads do father-son baseball trips.
Mm-hmm.
In our family, we do mother-son baseball trips. Sonia and Tennyson traveled to the ballparks. And even when he got married, his wife said, hey, listen, y'all keep doing these trips.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in going, but y'all keep doing them, which is great. Oh, by the way, some of you out there will hear me tell stories, and I tell stories about, a lot of times, William. I have two sons.
Right.
But William has said, Dad, anything I say, it's public communication. And Tennyson has said, Dad, anything I say, it's my business and yours, not for everybody else. So I want you to know, I have two sons, and one gets play and loves it. The other one doesn't want play and loves it. So, you know, so it's great.
That's a perfect connection to our final week out of Needs of the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is our 16th episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Does it seem high or low to you?
It seems lower.
Like we've done less than that?
Yeah, like more like, I was thinking like 11?
No, I think
there's something
16.
Like that. That's
good.
This
is 16.
Oh, by the way, if you and I can keep pressing on, if this can keep happening, I was talking to the lead pastor at my church, and we don't talk all the time, but I called him this morning to tell him how great his sermon was, and just one more person, I think, hope. But he said he as soon as he gets in his car, Living with Heart from Birth to Death comes on. He plays it a lot. And he said, you know, you're bringing so much to these podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, how many more, I mean, do you think you can do? He said, do you think like 100? And I'm thinking, I said, Steve, hundreds? There's no end to this.
No.
And he was thinking, there's got to be, you know?
Yeah.
And I've never found an end to it. I've never found a bottom in this whole spiritual root system mining, M-I-N-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can continue on, there's no end to what we can share, you know,
for
with
sure.
people. So
it is. I
love it.
I did just check. It is number 16. The other cool thing, unless something has gone horribly wrong, by the time that this publishes, which will be in about a week, we will have 10,000 downloads.
That's really good.
10,000 downloads, 48 states. The two states we're missing as of today are North Dakota and Vermont.
Yeah.
Not sure what's up with those two states.
Well,
and 22 different countries also.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
I just love that. And Steve, the guy, the pastor I was talking about, he got us West Virginia. I texted him. Nice. I said, come on, Steve, you're from West Virginia. He said, I'll take care of it. And by that nightfall, we had several.
That's right.
That's good.
Yeah.
He also said he'd get Kentucky and Ohio for us, too.
Oh, nice. So. Well, he did the job. We have Vermont and North Dakota left. So if anybody
So
has
Steve, if you hear this, come on.
Reach out to your friends in Vermont and North Dakota.
This is good. And 10,000 downloads in really a short period of time is pretty good. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially because, you know, people either don't listen to podcasts or if they do, they've got their three and they don't really add them. And so it really does mean a lot that people would listen to this.
I mean,
we kind of started this saying, if it's just us talking, we would be having these conversations anyways, but the 10,000 downloads would happen.
So thank you for everyone who's joining in our conversation.
Yeah.
Someday we'll get to the point where we'll get a little more sophisticated. We can take in questions and respond to questions.
Yep.
But the goal is, I wanted to get Voice of the Hearts done, cleared.
Yep.
And then needs of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move from there into the process.
Yep.
Because the big thing is we want people to be able to use their minds to articulate what's happening in their hearts, which starts with, what do I feel? What's the truth about where it's coming from? And then give it to the process.
Yeah.
And God owns the process.
Yeah.
So we're going to move into talking about process next time. Yep. Right?
And that could be... I mean, that's the rest of your life. I've never moved beyond it.
Yeah, that's going to last. That'll last 16.
Yeah, exactly.
Podcast easy. So,
and I'll just say this too.
Lots there.
I love doing this with you.
Thank you.
And it's funny because right before we hopped on, we were talking and catching up. Today's been kind of a wild day for me. My dad had major surgery this morning. Just some other personal stuff that's I'm feeling pretty deeply right now. And you asked me, was I ready? Could I do this?
Yeah.
You know, like, should we punt this or something like this? Mm-hmm. And it's funny. This is such a
Of course, you know, I didn't say, should we punt this?
Right? No, you did not say should. Yeah, there's no shoulds allowed here. Do you want to?
Can you? Are you able?
Are you able?
Kind of like, don't make it so hard.
Exactly.
Just come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did wonder, like, are you in a place where you can step on through this, into this? If not, let's stop.
And this space and opportunity is such a gift to me that it was like, absolutely, I want to be here. This is a gift. I can show up for it. And even just having these conversations that I get to participate and open up my own heart, even on what's been kind of a crazy day where I'm feeling a lot of different things very deeply and fully, it's a it's a gift to be here. And I love doing this.
It's good.
So
thank you. Glad you're
thank
here.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. Needs of the Heart, week 16. We are going to talk about fun, the need for fun, which is one of my favorite things to listen to you talk about.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I love listening to you talk about fun because I think when I first started doing work with you, I thought fun was for kids.
Oh, okay.
And I thought my responsibilities were so grown up and serious.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
But the days of fun are over.
The days of fun are over. Like, you know, I do serious business and so I'm, you know. And I would feel very shameful, toxic shame around ever having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then reading this chapter, but also listening to you talk about it was significant. I'm sure I'll flesh it out, but I want to start with you.
Yeah.
But it was significantly shaping in terms of my own recovery. And
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Where do you want to start with fun?
Well, I'll tell you what. Fun, it, I was thinking about even, you know, we end the book, Voice, Needs of the Heart, and then we're going to end with fun, as if it's a celebration experience, and we're going to be woohoo and it's happy, like, happy, or whatever, and that's just like, that's just not it.
Right. It's like it's like ending Voice of the Heart with gladness.
Exactly.
You know, in
yeah, kind of like, well, that cost a lot.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
This is not what you think it is.
So fun, I just want everyone to know that fun in and of itself is definitely a need. We literally, just like we have a need to grieve, We have a need to grieve because there is more loss in life in every area. That's the most pervasive experience in life is loss more than any other experience.
Yeah.
So we have a need to wash it out. We have a need to grieve. We also have a need for fun. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what fun is not. It is not a distraction from having to feel.
Mm. Say that again, because I think that's the way a lot of times people think of fun. Yeah, is
fun.
Like,
fun is not a distraction from feeling. It's running fully with our feelings as we're made to live. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll flesh that out.
Yep.
But entertainment, the word amusement, for example. Amusement is actually a distraction from our hearts. It's going someplace where we don't have to feel. But fun is actually feeling completely. Mm. It's totally everything involved. But amusement means no muse. Hmm. And the muses were the seven in the Greek and Roman world. The muses were creativity.
Yeah.
The seven forms of creativity. And amused means no muse. Hmm. So if we use amusement, or even entertainment is a way of distracting ourselves from having to feel.
Yeah.
But if we really want to do the clearest definition, the clearest picture of fun, it's involving ourselves in something that we're so completely absorbed into that we lose consciousness of time. We sort of forget ourselves, not in a way that blocks us out like anesthesia, but we're so completely ourselves that we're absorbed and no longer being concerned about what people think of us. Mm. Okay, we're freed from that. We're so much ourselves. And so I write in the Needs of the Heart that a great picture of, and by the way, fun deletes exhaustion. It relieves exhaustion. Mm. But a child who takes a kite, an 8-year-old child, mm-hmm. kite takes the air. They run along the ground, watching it move into the sky, hitting the blue and the breezes move. They watch the tail of, say, a yellow kite with a smiley face on it. And they move along the ground. They're not wondering how their hair looks, or they're not thinking, I'm so great. They're sort of lost in wonder. Mm. So real fun always brings us back to wonder and curiosity and the experience of, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
And when we look back on it, we're not necessarily thinking this is great while we're doing it. So fun replenishes, fun restores, like we did a lot of the REs in one of the other podcasts. But what fun does more than anything else, it recreates us. Mm. It arouses hope. It gives us a sense of a future. And we sort of have this gratitude for being alive again. So after we've done this recreational that we've mistaken for recreation, it's recreational, that we're attending to every bit of who we're made to be and doing exactly what we're made to do, which is create. Mm. And that creation is good. Mm. And creation always leads to involving ourselves in whatever's lovely, praiseworthy, excellent, good, true, and just. So fun.
Yeah.
Fun creates. I'll stop with that, but it's losing consciousness of where we are. Sonia will go into her art room.
Yeah.
And she'll suddenly glance up, look at the clock, and realize she's missed an appointment. Mm. She's absorbed and not lost, not anesthetized, but so fully absorbed into creativity that the demands of life have slipped away.
Right. Yeah, the thing that for this chapter, in the craziness of my day, I left my book that is all marked up, and so I'm looking at this blank copy here. But I still remember I have in my copy that I left from home, or left at home, I underlined this, starred this. So the highest honor when I read a book is if I underline, if I star in the margin, and then I fold the page down because I'm like, I'll come back to this at some point. That's like gold that I will use for the rest of my life. And the little statement that you made, I remember this, you said, we have to have these moments of unself-consciousness. Otherwise, life is not full of its worth. And that image of unself-consciousness so resonated with me. And actually, I can still remember the first moment after reading this book when I felt like I hit it, and it was playing with my kids.
Yeah.
It was, I can't remember what we were doing, but I wasn't worried about them getting hurt. And I wasn't worried about, am I being too loud for the neighbors or something like that? Yes. I think it was a snowball fight.
Uh-huh.
And it was just something like, and my kids are now old enough that they can kind of, you know, it's kind of fun and mm-hmm. exciting, and you can immerse yourself yes. into it as well. And mm-hmm. you kind of forget, oh my, like, oh, we're in a neighborhood. People are living right next door yeah. to us. I probably shouldn't scream. I probably couldn't shout. Yeah. But it, for a period of time, it Got was it. Like that.
So you
was,
were, you except for the potential, the possibilities of self-consciousness, you were gone.
Right. And I had you these were, moments of being gone. That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Like I start, it clicked for me of even that experience mm-hmm. was like, oh, this is what he's, well, I think, is this what you're, is that the
exactly.
type of experience you're
That's
talking
exactly
about?
That's exactly it. And when you look back on that experience of the need of fun being met, it is a unforgettable memory that even when dementia hits later on, mm. you may be able to recall that time mm. when, mm. and you'll say the story. It may not necessarily be connected, but it's deeply rooted in your limbic right brain, left brain. It's your total person has been given over to something which creates the emotional attachment to experiential memory. Mm. Emotional Gosh. Attachment to experiential memory. Mm. That's how, see, the our beings itself demand that we be involved in life, mm. that we touch it, feel it, taste it, and experience it. But if we are always looking into the stands when we're playing ball,
yeah.
then right. we're not in the emotional engagement of the experience. Right. And so we're not creating memories. We're so busy not being lost in right. terms of how we're made.
Gosh, there's so many places I want to go with that. I mean,
see the greatest athletes very quickly.
Right.
The difference between a great athlete and a good athlete really is not necessarily just physical attributes.
Definitely.
And work.
Right. It's not,
the great athlete sees nothing but the ball.
Right.
The good athlete can have the same amount of gifts, but they're paying attention to their stats.
Right.
They're looking to see what people are impressed with. They're right. always painted looking out for the scouts. They're not given to the game.
Right.
So they don't end up having that blessing they could have by giving themselves to something bigger than themselves.
Right. Yeah, I mean, baseball is the perfect analogy of this because the best moment in baseball is if you're not thinking about playing baseball, other mm-hmm. than, hey, I'm just going up there and swinging. Like, mm-hmm. if you're thinking about how you're going to swing, mm-hmm. you're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're swinging as the expression of all the preparation, mm-hmm. and like, you're just fully immersed yeah. and participating in the experience.
You know, I do remember gosh, there's so many stories. I want to tell a story about building a stepping stone too. And by the way, fun in terms of just play, those are two things are different. It took me a long time to distinguish that because I'm not good at playing.
So are you going to talk about it, right? Can you define what the difference is real quick before you go to the, hold on, let me make sure we're going to hit everything. So you're
okay.
talking about the stepping stone story.
Yeah, we're all over.
You want to tell the stepping stone story, but
yeah,
I feel like that's helpful. Can you differentiate first between play and
I've
fun?
Always, when I, okay, I am a creator and I work mm-hmm. and I like work mm-hmm. And I have always had a difficulty thinking that, you know what, I'm not any good at fun and I'm not very good at going and having fun. And you don't want to be around me if you're looking for fun. But it turns out that it's not that I was bad at fun. It's just that I wasn't interested in being distracted from living. I didn't need entertainment to go play to get away from myself. I didn't know. So I thought something was always like missing with me.
You're talking like escapism.
Escapism. I did not want to escape. I wanted to be in it completely. Mm-hmm. But so I thought fun was that, and it's not. So fun can be work, but it's creativity. It's giving yourself over to that thing you're curious about, you wonder about, you're interested in, you want to see if you can do, you want to go look at, challenge yourself with. So there can be a great deal of sweat so to speak, and fun. But fun frees us because you're no longer as curious about the crowd or what people think. And I do remember Tennyson was in the eighth grade, and I believe he's okay with me telling this story. This is an old, old story I've told before. But he said, we left the ballpark, and he had hit two home runs, center field fence, dead center field, eighth grade. And he got into the truck with me, and he said something. He said, Dad, something was weird about that game. I said, well, what is it? He said, all of a sudden, he said, everything was so slow. Everything slowed down. And I just thought, well, I'll just hit the ball I want to hit. He said, I could see, it's like I could see the stitches on the ball coming to me, and I thought, I'll just hit the ones I want to hit. And he said, it just, boom, two out. I said, what was going on? What do you think that was? Because I knew that that was that what the athlete describes as focus,
right?
In the flow.
Yeah.
Everything's gone, but and the game slows down for them, even though it's fast as heck, you know? And I think that's what David experienced in the valley with Goliath. I think the game slowed down for David. He ran towards Goliath, stopped, and picked up five stones in the middle of the – I just think he was right in the zone. But he said that before the game, he just thought audience of one. And it was kind of like he saw it on a T-shirt, audience of one. And in reference to God, it's like you're just playing for how you're made. It's not about what people think of you. You're playing for the joy.
Yeah.
The joy of the game, the joy of living, the joy of getting to experience, the joy of appreciating being there. But you're not thinking how much you appreciate being there. You're in it.
Right.
And then afterwards, it's like, oh, that was good. Now you've got the memory.
Right.
That emotional combination of investing yourself in the experience of something, and the outcome was like, oh, I remember that. That was good. And we want to repeat it.
Right.
But it's not a high. It's an experience. It's like addiction, but it isn't. You're fully in your life. See, addiction, when a person hits their, like their first use is rarely as good as their second use. I mean, their second use is rarely as good as their first use. Yeah. They're trying to return to a place where it was so great. But fun is always going forward to the next experience and just fully living in it. Do you see the difference? Because fun involves willing to feel, willingness to feel. A great example, a stepping stone example.
Yeah, okay.
Sonya's pregnant, okay? Not now.
Not right now.
No. Oh, yeah. A little past that day, those days. But she was pregnant with our first child, and we had just bought a house.
Were you in Texas?
We were in Texas, in Flower Mound, Texas, and the house is a kind of a wreck. I'm working. She's teaching school. She's pregnant. We're trying to remodel this house. We got a few friends helping. And then she's standing out on this little patio out back. We've got a little bit of shade. It's Texas. We bought this place. Great backyard. It has two trees. And they actually shade the backyard where we could grow grass, fescue. And I'm exhausted. I mean, we've been working like crazy. I've been digging stuff, planting stuff, moving stuff, shaping stuff, pulling carpet up. And I look at her and I said, Sonya, I don't want to be married. I said, and I've got a shovel like an old guy, and I'm kind of poking the shovel. I said, I don't want to be married. I don't want you to be pregnant. I don't want to have a child yet. I don't want to do this. And I'm just sort of stomping, you know, like I'm exhausted. And I didn't know what to do except just keep going. And she was in that sort of like oceanic peace of like, all's good. She was just getting loaded with whatever oxytocin and preparation. She was in a great place. And she addressed me so kindly. She said, Chip, you need a break. I'm like, well, who's this talking to me? I just said every attack word I could possibly to, you know, to end our relationship, or at least, you know, to get blamed for not being all in or whatever. She said, stop and take a break. Stop. Yeah. I'm like, I can stop. I can take a break. She said, do something creative. And I'm like, okay. I found the top of some box that is just a box that we'd use for something. I found a bag of concrete. I used the box as a form. I poured the concrete in. I tore up a curtain rod for the rebar, for supporting. And I found a styrofoam symbol. It looked like a Celtic cross. I poured the concrete with the rebarb in there, the blind shade curtain rod, broke it up, and impressed this Celtic cross looking thing, which is really just the top of a piece of styrofoam from a TV. All right. And just spent an afternoon doing that. Afterwards, I tore the cardboard up, and it formed, hardened, and I made a stepping stone. And it was a treasure of mine for the next bunch of years. I remember it came with us from Texas. It lasted 20 years, finally broke in two out by a water hydrant at one of the houses where we lived. But I remember what a treasure it was, because I experienced the full recreational capacity of fun. Take a break, lean into creativity. It can be anything of imagination, and what it will leave you with is a resurgence of love. I wanted to be married. I couldn't wait to have a son or child. I couldn't wait to end up being a son. I couldn't wait. I was in love with her all over again. And she had given me a blessing of stop. Care for yourself. Take care of yourself. Go do something that brings you back to me, because you need to spend time with yourself, waking up again to how you're made, who made you, and what you're made to live like.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
What would you say to people who just feel like it's not possible? Like, they hear the story you just told, and it could be anything from maybe the dynamic with their spouse is not like, hey, go do something fun, but more like, we need you around more, which is a fairly common dynamic. And so even if like they could get away, they have this feeling of like, oh boy, I'm either going to pay for this, or they feel so guilty. It's hard to like really have fun. So the barrier to fun might be a dynamic with a spouse, for example, or it just might even feel like they themselves can't give themselves permission, or they just feel like structurally in terms of their schedule, like, I'd love to do this, but I can't.
Yes. And that was almost all what I would consider my upbringing was, I would love to go do this, but I can't. I've got to stay here and do the work. I've got to stay here and take care of the place. I've got to stay here and make sure the job gets done. And so my answer to everything of extending beyond what the rules were or the shoulds or the how you take care of the family kind of thing was, no, I can't. So one is, there, a lot of people have an internal prohibition against creativity and letting ourselves go do things.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two is, because most people don't realize that fun is actually about recreation. Most people think of fun as escape. And a lot of people are saying, we need you here, because that other person is really just seeking playtime rather than fun time. In other words, they're escaping their responsibilities. Yeah. And the partner feels that tension. So that's number two. Number three is, a lot of times people in relationship don't genuinely support each other, knowing that if this person goes and recreates, I'm going to get a whole lot more from them than I would by keeping them tied to me. You know, and so I've seen the other person doesn't quite realize or trust that if this person goes and recreates, they're going to bring more home in terms of replenishment, more able, they're able to pour out if they go do that. Also, you know, in my relationship with Sonia, we've got 40 years now, I still carry around some of that fear of upbringing and what I think relationship. If I go, you know, hall pass, immaturity, like we act like we're in junior high, and our, and like the teacher is going to be upset if we don't get home at a certain time.
Interesting.
That's our fears. That's my fears. And I have not met many spouses, male, female, who don't want the other person's good.
That's a really great point. Uh-huh. Can you say that again? Because
yeah.
I do think a lot of people feel like, I would love to do this, but I'll get in trouble if I yes. do, assuming, but that really might be more our own voice than
I think it is, because, you know, I'll say, if I do that, Sonia, I'm going to get in trouble. She goes, what are you talking about? Right. Like I'm, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
And it's really, she's looking at me like, where's the man?
Hmm.
That's boy talk kind of thing, you know?
So, yeah, like she's not flattered by her being treated as a mother to whom you
or
are
that
going
she's
to.
A warden of the prison. Or that's, right. that's an insult to her.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that the other person isn't controlling. They've got to check into that with themselves. They got to find a mirror to look into.
Those are realities.
But we need to be able to go do recreational things, sometimes with that person, sometimes without that person. And Sonia is really good about knowing, like, I need in-depth man time.
Hmm.
I don't need man time because, I mean, if it's not about something, to me, it's about nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we're not really doing this to recreate and replenish, then, I mean, only so many ball games I'd be interested in going to without Sonia around. I'd rather go home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But she has experienced the benefit that when I get with other men doing replenishing things, I mean, in terms of real conversations about what it's like to be me, what's going on in the world, what's happening spiritually, what's going on personally. When those things get shared, person to person, heart to heart, man, I go home.
Yeah.
She's like, she gets a better man.
Yeah.
Because I was playing.
Right.
I was out having fun.
Yeah.
I had fun. And so it's usually once a week I'm out there doing that. And does she miss me? Yes. But believing that the other person wants your good gives us a lot of permission to go get that good.
And even sometimes I wonder, I mean, I'm not trying to turn this into a full-blown, like, practical coaching counseling conversation, but sometimes if we just, I mean, I really like what you just said, that some of the hesitancy might be, hey, I'm going to use an example that I don't practice, but I just was having a conversation with a friend about this, where he was talking about observing this as part of Nashville culture. Hey, you know, when you get back from your weekly 4-hour golf time, you're not coming back giving your best.
Correct.
I mean, that's not to say something about golf, but golf can be escapism. I mean, anything can be escapism.
Sure.
But that was just the nature of the conversation we were having. So that might be a legitimate hesitancy. Mm-hmm. Or it might just even be the nuances of, like, poor communication. I mean, like, what I'm hearing, what I'm drawing from what you're saying that's very practically helpful is to communicate, just to say, hey, I want to do this. When's the best time to do this? Here's my heart and my intention of doing this. I'm not trying to escape you. Yes. I want to fully engage you. Mm-hmm. This is a vehicle to do that. The reason I'm hanging out with my friends or, you know, having this significantly deep and meaningful man time is not because there's something wrong with you. I actually want to give you my best. And this is part of that. And I just feel like in most functional relationships, if there's that level of communication around it, what spouse wouldn't hear that and think, okay, go, you know, get out of here.
Yes. And then our ability to tolerate, and this sounds strange at first, but our ability to tolerate being missed without feeling ashamed.
Okay.
Okay.
Explain Meaning what that means.
That if, like, Megan, if you're gone, and even if you're gone doing something fun, then she says, well, I'm going to miss you. And I wish you were going to be here. I didn't get to see you yesterday.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's a setup for you to address yourself, to really look at your intentions. Are you doing this thing that's fun for recreational purposes, or are you just getting away, taking advantage? Okay. But can you tolerate being missed without feeling ashamed? Can she miss you without you feeling like you're doing something wrong or feeling guilty or feeling like you let her down? She's just simply saying, I love you. And when you're not around, I wish you were, which means I'm sad, except during COVID.
It's so funny you said that, because that was going through my mind as COVID was. So can I tell you what was just going through my mind?
Yeah, yeah.
What I was thinking about when you were saying that is, when I left, I worked from home until we came together this afternoon, and I was working upstairs. And I was getting ready to leave, and I was just, and it was, you know, I was on calls, and it was funny because my kids, all four of them, were in this sweet age where they feel very deeply. It makes them very sad when I go to work.
Are you leaving, Dad?
Yeah, are you leaving? Are you doing that? Hugs, waving from the door. I mean, it's just, it's precious. I know it won't always be that way, but it is that way. And it's funny because I thought about that coming here, of just being like, oh, it'll never be enough. You know, it's like I could have been, I got to do something that most people don't get to do with work, which was work from home. I could pop down for lunch. I could say, hey, Ruthie came in and sat on a Zoom call that was permissible for her to do that. And I got to do something that most people don't get to do with their work, but it still wasn't enough for them, and it wasn't enough for me. Yes. And it's just even naming that reality.
That is so good to hear. So even when you'd had plenty, you felt sad about the departure.
Right.
Okay, so that's good news.
Yeah.
When you are not really sad about the departure and you really want to get away, it means your need for fun's not being addressed. Okay, this is real important.
Because that's escapism at that point. I got to get away from here.
I got to get out of here. Yeah. That's running from. But also, what I hope you'll run to fun. That's when I was pounding the shovel in the ground. Sonia recognized this man, this guy, my Chippy, needs some fun.
Yes.
Now go do something fun. So this is important. Like, if you feel sad about departure, that's really good. When you've had too much, you need to go do something else. Because Sonia, during COVID, it was so funny. I remember I told you, she said, you know how I said I'd never get enough of you? I remember she shut the pantry door and looked at me and she said, I have. And it was so funny. I mean, I'm laughing, roaring.
Right,
like,
but it hurt.
And she really meant it.
Yeah.
It was
she wasn't laughing.
No, like she can be very funny. And I'm thinking she's playing, and she's actually not.
Well, that was the other thing that was going through my mind, was I feel like COVID was the great experiment of, you know, the person who was like, oh, I just wish I could be around and be at home and never have any of these goodbyes.
Well, it turns out you
are
now.
Yeah. And,
I didn't know it was like prison.
Yeah, maybe we weren't designed, you know, maybe it's good instead of spending 18 hours around each other.
You're made to spend time apart, to pray, to be with other friends, to have other experiences. So you bring newness back into the relationship. Mm-hmm. That's very important. Something about fun that's important, that we got to remember, there's no such place as away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that statement.
The rule of life.
There's no such place as away.
Yeah. Vacation isn't a place you go to vacate, having the experience of having to feel, needing to feel. Vacation, which is really retreat. You go retreat for RE purposes.
Right.
You don't go find a place to get rid of yourself.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very important. There's no such place as away. So fun is not running away from having to feel. It's feeling everything completely and remembering that there's a purpose, a place, an experience, a participation in life that we're made to have. Fun reawakens us. It rests us and reawakens us at the same time.
Mm.
It's really important. And you need to want your people to go have it, do it. It's just so good. I remember another thing fun. Years ago, I come from an addictive family that got a lot of recovery. And I remember we were all growing. My father probably was, I bet he was 68, 70 years old. And we had a great big family kickball tournament over at where we lived, where my boys and I used to play baseball. The guy next door used to say, I didn't know who was having more fun, you or them, because I could hear the laughter and the hollering and playing. But I remember my father kicked a ball. I run out to the outfield. I get it. And he's rounding second. And he's going to third. And I remember he looked at me, and I'm going to throw the ball at him. You know, it's like poison ball. Yeah. You get him out with hitting him.
Yeah.
And his mouth was open in excitement I'd never seen in my whole life. He was a surgeon. And he was like, excited and scared and laughing all at the same time. I saw a third grade kid. Mm. I saw a 70-year-old third grade kid, and I just tucked the ball against my stomach and laughed with the joy of getting to see fun. Completely, fully, utterly alive, and it ended up reflecting back upon me. I saw a panorama of his whole life.
Wow.
And how much we lose and give up if we don't take the time to invest in kind of what nature's doing all the time, being itself. You know, nature is always being itself. And yet its consciousness is being itself.
Yeah.
It's not an awareness, but it's conscious. It's being itself.
Yeah.
Pecan trees know that they're fully alive when they have pecans hanging all over it and blooms there. When it's drinking water deeply, it knows it's fully alive. It's having fun. It's doing what it's made to do. So fun is seeing who we're made to be, doing what we're made to do, right? Knowing who we're made to be, all that stuff combined into one place, and then not knowing you're doing it.
It makes me think of what you said at the front end that really struck me in terms of, you know, even for the person whose brain is experiencing dementia, the way that the memories, like what you're talking about, even, you know, as soon as you said that, I thought about my grandmother, who is still alive, is suffering from dementia. And it's interesting that when I am with her, which isn't a ton, she's in Virginia, but when I do see her, she almost always tells me the same story, which is about the one time that her dad, I think, took her out of school early and they went to a movie together. I think she was in like third or fourth grade, which I have a fourth grader right now. And so I look and I just think, you know, my grandmother is 92, 93, something like that. And the way that all these other memories have faded, the way that she doesn't recognize people that she's spent decades of life with. But there's something about the power of the memory of that experience with her dad.
That I'm telling you, Brian,
is exactly what you said. Illustrated.
We're going to find in the future. We have a culture that is a cult of trying to get away. Okay, so we have that cult of trying to get away, and what we're trying to get away from is the very thing that takes us into full life, fully lived, and even loving deeply. When I believe that we will experience a time that people who develop full emotional growth, in other words, they feel their feelings, tell the truth, and fully involve themselves in the process, which we're talking about next, that even when they have frontal lobe deterioration, even when they have the cognitive inability to truly keep up with the data that's going on around them, even when they forget the names of the people who were, according to the rules, they were to remember. I think if emotional development occurs, you can lose your faculties of rational thought processes and memory, but you can still be fully alive and fully connected to caring, kindness, receiving love, and giving love. And you will remember the things that matter to you most emotionally, because emotion and long-term memory are really tied up at core in the emotional brain. Feelings and long-term memory are tied up in the caring attachment brain, the limbic system. And because there's so much trauma in our cult system, and there's so many blocks against experiencing feelings genuinely and vulnerably without being mocked, ridiculed, or harmed, then we don't develop that growth process, so that when I think dementia and Alzheimer's is more pronounced because of our lack of emotional growth. And even when we do have it, we could be healthier than we are because of emotional growth. We could be healthier. So I think that's something we'll find out in the future. But I really want us to hear that we could have a lot less addiction if there were a lot more fun, which means feeling fully, which leads us to loving deeply, like your grandmother remembers that experience, like your snowball experience, like me seeing my father, like me making a stepping stone, like me hearing my son talk about hitting balls out of the park. All of those are experiences of fun, even to the point, as this is bizarre sounding at first, but when two people come together and they tell the truth about some of their richer, deeper vulnerabilities, and even tears get shed about sorrows that have been held at bay that are now released and revealed, a person can walk away recreated, replenished, and restored. In other words, they had fun. Now, so I'm asking us to expand our experience that fun and play aren't necessarily the same things. There can be play and fun, but fun has a much wider, expanded experience than what our cultish society has dictated it mean. And we've got a lot of fun we can experience. And you know, one of the last things in the book I write about, that belonging and mattering are sort of the essential foundations of living fully. The two most elemental primary needs in the emotional spiritual realm. But fun is the capstone that sits atop the arch that's built up with all our needs. It's the capstone that holds the arch up. And belonging and mattering is the foundation upon which the pillars stand.
A beautiful image.
And so fun means that you really went and lived and you let yourself experience life in it to the full in relationship with yourself, others, and God. And so that at the end of your life, that your hyphen between the dates of your birth and death, it's big. The dates are little, that square, that hyphen's big. You belonged and mattered, and you lived your life experientially, and you gave yourself to life completely, as much as a pecan tree or an orange tree, except that you were God's masterpiece and you lived as if you were. And you wrote yourself on life meaningfully.
And I mean, I'm always applying what you're sharing through the lens of you being a parent of really young kids. And even as I think about applying this in my own life, it's like, I do want to have more fun personally. I want to advocate for Megan to have more fun. But in particular, I feel like, especially when you have young kids, you can get stuck in this place of we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to accomplish this. The house is a mess. We got to clean this up. We got to get to bed. We got to go on to the next thing. We got activities, things like that. And just, you know, and it's almost like you beat the fun out of your kids in the name of getting stuff done. And, you know,
and sometimes even in the need of play.
What do you
beat
mean?
The fun out of your kids need of getting to the ballpark to have
yeah,
fun.
Exactly.
Play,
or that's a soccer great, park. That's a great point.
Dance
too.
Class or painting class or and if you've got three kids going to different places at the same time, well, you need three parents.
Right, exactly. But I think that's the biggest point. When I think about applying, I'm always, when I'm listening to you, I'm like, what do I practically want to do? But I think that's the most practical thing, is just to say, hey, I want to slow down. Maybe we don't get as much done, but we do. We do have fun, because I mean, really ultimately what I want to be living for is that, you know, when my kids are 90 years old and, you know, God forbid their minds are starting to fade, but they will in some way, you know, what they'll have are those memories that we share together. And what they certainly won't remember is we got to bed on time or what, you know, whatever.
That's
not that
true.
It's significant, but just
that's
saying,
true. Okay. And if I look back and where I wasted opportunities, I wasted opportunities achieving ends instead of living accomplishments. You know, referring back to our podcast on accomplishment. And that's a great sadness. So those people out there who are younger than I am, let me just say point blank. I mean, I know you hear it from old people all the time, but seriously, don't miss it. Just don't miss it. Don't miss what God has for you, because he's a don't miss it God. And don't miss what those people who love you and you love have for you, because it's a don't miss it relationship. And wherever the heart is hidden and not exposed, expressed, and shared, and, you know, risked, you know, just being valued, you're missing it. I'm missing it. And it's like, haven't we missed enough? Mm. I mean, obviously we have great room for great grieving in our country. Otherwise there wouldn't be so much addiction. Mm. And I'm pounding this addiction thing. I'm going to pound it like, I mean, a sledgehammer on a rock until it breaks. And I will not stop, because addiction is our problem, because it is the don't feel illness. Mm. It's the don't feel illness. And even the, when you talked about, hey, we could slow it down a little bit. Well, that's scary. Hmm. If you slow it down, it's scary because of the possibility of missing out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you've harmed your kids' connections to the ball team when they're 14 because you didn't develop them when they were blah, blah, blah.
You're right.
Instead, you decided you'd have a relationship.
Hmm.
And then they might have tears later.
Hmm.
Well, yes, they might, but they'll have a relationship.
Hmm.
Which is a place to take your tears. That's important.
Yeah.
So,
anything else you want to say about
that's
fun?
That's a good stopping point. Okay. You know,
I love these 16 conversations about needs on the too. Process.
This has been really, really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Hey, and God bless everybody out there who's listened, and please let other people know.
Yeah.
Not because on any level I am or Brian attempting to be famous.
Self-promotional.
I don't mind being well known, but which is a good thing. But I mean, this is for us, for you. I mean, I want you to have this.
Yeah,
I want more of it.
It's the stuff of life that matters
absolutely.
The most.
We got spirit, and I know you hear it. There's no give up, give up, give up, give up in us.